Hey, good people. Welcome back to Driven in Purpose. I am your host, Alice M. Robinson.
And your co-host, Titus D. Parnell Sr.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of housekeeping on this morning. Driven in Purpose is a podcast where you're going to meet kingdom-minded people that are driven in purpose and some that are still trying to find their drive. But here you're going to get sound wisdom on how to find your purpose and how to be driven in it and how to maintain. So we have some amazing guests with us on today. Y'all, we are in the city of Mobile.
Yes, Lord.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Amen. 15 hours.
15 hours.
It took to get here. But we're grateful to God that we are here on today, and we have two amazing guests, and we'll let my co-host, Amen, introduce our guest on this morning. I think we in a different time zone, y'all.
Yes, we are.
So it's 10:10 here in Mobile, Alabama. Come on.
All right. Well, hey, folks, listen up. We are here in the humidity, and God is still good. But I don't want to go to hell because I don't like this.
This so is not. This is my fault.
Pray my strength.
Okay. We get a breeze every now and then. Hell, you don't get no breeze.
See, that's why I got to build right. Thank you, Jesus. However, we are in our South Regional Conference here in the city of Mobile, Alabama. We are on site at the River Worship Center. Yes, yes. And now, hey, our guest on this morning is two awesome, powerful men of God that, hey, God has blessed us and hey, favored us with. One is the host pastor, Pastor Stephen Taylor. We thank God for him. And also, we have with us our South Regional Prelate, the Honorable Apostle Willie Emery Jr. out of Atlanta, Georgia.
God bless you.
Bless you, sir. Bless you. So, of course,
welcome to Driven in Purpose.
Yeah.
So, you guys, so I know we've been. I know some people ask him, where have we been? Where's Driven in Purpose been? I was in the process of relocating to a new city, so I had to take a little, I had to put the car in neutral for just a moment as we transitioned into a new city. So since we have settled, the Lord said, okay, take it out of neutral, put it back in drive, and let's go. So we are back on the move with Driven in Purpose, and we are starting in an amazing place,
yeah,
and in a new season. So so we start off with Driven in Purpose with a question, and a lot of people say, why do you throw that question?
Because I really want to know
where you are at, or what your mind, or what you think when you hear a certain phrase. So, to both Apostle Reed and Pastor Taylor, when you hear the word driven in purpose, what does that mean to you? I'm going to let one of y'all, Apostle Reed, you want to go first. When you hear the words driven in purpose, how does that speak to you?
In this season, it speaks volumes. Because of the driven, it just means to be self-motivation. A push that has to be inward. And purpose just is, you have to know your purpose. And the way you know your purpose is that spend time with God, do experiences, whether it's life, just life in general, or just a spiritual warfare that you go through. And those two, that's why I'm here today. And I've survived a lot because of my dream and my purpose. It pushes me to new heights and new depths. It helps me understand that if God be for me,
oh wow,
who can be against me?
Oh wow, I like that.
If a lot of times in that season or in that time when you really soul searching yourself, you're looking for that purpose, you're looking for direction, you're looking for to get understanding, and in this season, clarity. Exactly where you're headed, what you're doing, because so many people don't have the clarity. So it's important to understand that I'm not doing this for anybody, I'm doing this for God. My motivation is that when I wake up, let's see what we can do for God today.
Oh, wow.
Let's see what's the instructions of. And a lot of times people take that for granted, but we can't take anything for granted in this season. Everything is about purpose, it's about truth, it's about move, it's about being determined to see when odds are against you, when things look like it's not adding up. That's the time that you gotta be motivated. That's the time you gotta understand what is your purpose.
Oh, wow.
So that's what that means to me.
The push moment. You have to push past
that
moment of, okay, I don't have clarity, but I'm not gonna allow that to detour me. Because a lot of times when you, like, I just don't know what God is calling me to do, then you just don't do anything, you just stop. But that's not what we should do. We should continue to pray until God gives us the clarity that we need to find what it is that we have been assigned to do. Pastor Taylor, I'm putting the ball in your court.
Amen. It's just such a blessing to be here this morning. I thank the panel for having us. Amen. What does it mean to be driven in purpose? My God, it makes me think about just being truly focused on a thing. Amen. When I think about driven in purpose, I first look at it, the last word first, purpose. Because when I'm purposed to do a thing and I find that place where I'm purpose, that's what drives me. Amen. Driven is such a hard word. Such a strong word. If I'm driven, that means I'm not going willingly all the time. Because if I was going by myself, I wouldn't have to be driven. But sometimes Holy Spirit drives us into places that we don't really want to go. But because it's my purpose,
yes.
You know, I gotta go that way, you know, because I'm serving the Lord. I'm not serving self. I serve God, so I'm driven in my purpose.
That's powerful. You know, I didn't really think about that. Because there's mornings where I don't want to get up, especially when we do, you know, worked all week long. I know me. I've worked all week long, and then here comes Saturday morning.
That's it.
And we're going to do driven in purpose. But I feel the push, the being driven to do what I've been assigned to do. And I know when I don't do what I'm supposed to do, then nothing goes right.
Wow.
And we had a podcast with Pastor Bishop, somebody give me his name, psychologist.
Bishop King.
And he talked about how when you don't operate in obedience, your body go out of whack. And a lot of times when we are not driven, pushed in our purpose, we wonder why our body is not lining up.
Wow.
Because you operate, first of all, out of disobedience.
Yes.
Because you're not allowing the Holy Ghost to drive you into your purpose. And so when I decided to line up and to do purpose, and I testified about this last night, how I came off of all those blood pressure pills I was taking. And the doctor said, you don't have hypertension. You just finally did what you were supposed to do. Now, he ain't saved, y'all. He don't know. And I talked to him about Christ.
But he's not saved. But he said, you finally did what you were supposed to do. I surrendered to what God instructed me to do. So that's what you're talking about being driven. No other choice. And really, we don't have one. If we really, we say God gives us the freedom to choose. He does. But there's consequences to the choices that you made. So you wonder why life ain't going well. But if you find your purpose in God and then allow the Holy Ghost to make you driven in it, life will be absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
Come on, Pastor, give us our next question.
All right. Well, our next question.
Well, praise the Lord, being driven. Now, hey, our next question is, what does it mean to be a leader that is steadfast in who you are? Because now, a lot of leaders I have found try to mimic other leaders. And by doing so, they operate in disobedience, because you can only be who God made you to be. I can't be Pastor Taylor. I can't be Apostle Reed. I can't be Minister Allen. I got to be me. So now, hey, what does it mean to be a steadfast leader and still be true to who you are in this season? Apostle, Pastor Tim.
That's a loaded question, though. I just want to blow that.
So many directions we can go with that. But what does it mean to be a steadfast leader in who you are? First thing I think about, the first word that comes to mind is identity.
Okay.
Is that if I find my identity, how do I find that first?
Wow.
I find my identity in Christ.
Uh-huh.
So when I find Christ, I begin to understand who he is. I begin to learn about who he is and identify myself through him. Because the Bible says in the very beginning that he created us in his likeness and in his image.
Right.
So there's no one that can label me, or no one that can put a tag upon who I am, but the one who created me.
Wow.
He formed me in the very beginning. The Bible says in Jeremiah, in the belly I formed thee, and I knew thee. Amen. So I have to count on that when I start looking for my identity. And my steadfast in who I am. Now, how do I stay steadfast in that? My goodness, that is really, really loaded. How do I stay steadfast in that? I just got to stay before him, you know, and stay before his face and realize who I am in that identity.
Wow.
And just stay true to that. I can't. That's loaded. That is loaded.
I think it still goes back to your first answer when you talk about steadfastness. Uh-huh. That's still being driven.
Uh-huh.
Because that means you don't change anything that God has put in you. You don't try to fit in.
Right. That's it.
To everybody else's cookie cutter.
Right.
Everybody wants to fit you in the same cookie.
Uh-huh.
And you don't fit like that.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of times as leaders, we try to fit a certain image.
Yeah.
And we forget the only image that we should reflect is the image of Christ.
That's it.
And what you're talking about, when you, the first comment you made about being driven, I believe that's tied to steadfastness.
Wow. Apostle Reed.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What does it mean to be a leader that is steadfast in who you are in this season? In this season.
I'm going to piggyback a little what Pastor Taylor just said about the identity. Identity, as leaders, a lot of leaders have identity crisis. And this is, as you were saying, that they will mimic others. But what came to me while you were saying that was David, when he got ready to go to fight Goliath.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, they wanted to put him on that armor to go down.
Wow.
But when he tried it on, but it was too big.
Uh-huh.
He never had war armor before. Uh-huh. But what the scripture said, that armor wasn't proven, which means that he hadn't had it and hadn't experienced it.
Man, come on.
And all of a sudden, they wanted to wear it. He set it aside. He got to who he was because he remembered that he was in. He fought the lion, he fought the bear.
Uh-huh.
He did all these different things. Uh-huh. But he did it with stones.
Come on.
He did it with slingshot.
Yes,
he got the pieces that was with it. And in order for us in this season to get to stay steadfast and understand what God is saying, we got to get back to the basics. And the way that you find out your identity is through fasting, it's through seeking him. And then when storms come, you stay the course. A lot of times we try to change, or we try to do this
because
we feel like it's not working. But who to say it's not working until it's proven?
Wow.
You got to use what's proven. If you are, you know, some preachers, they're not hoopers, and they say, I'm not a hooper.
Uh-huh.
They say, I'm a teacher.
Uh-huh.
But still, you got to be proven. You still got to be anointed to be a teacher.
Wow.
It is no excuse not to have your anointing because you are a certain way.
Come on.
And some leaders, they try to say, oh, he got this or that. But you don't know that man who's hooping. That's a gift as well as teaching. It's
uh-huh.
a gift.
Uh-huh.
And they all come from God.
Yeah.
But they've been proven in that. So you have to do what's proven. You know, when
David
had took that, put that equipment, put that the breastplate and put all that armor stuff on the side, I'm sure they looked at him and thought he was out of his mind.
Come on, man.
You gonna go fight a giant and you don't even have no cover. But he didn't understand his cover was the stone.
Yes.
He was covered. He had on his covering already.
Wow.
So then they looked around and they was like, well, what's going on? He got the stones. And the thing that blows my mind is that everybody who had on the armor didn't want to go fight. He went to the fight with no armor on him. They thought, literally. But then God turned around and just proved them. They looking around, wow. And it was a destiny. Sometimes being steadfast is going to change people that we don't even know. People are coming to us that we don't even know, and they're looking for something. So they're looking for a leader to be steadfast. They're looking for him to have his identity together.
Yes.
They're looking for him when we're going through our worst moment. We got to still be pepped up and say, this ain't about them. I'll deal with this when I get back home.
Come
because
on.
I'm proven to know that if I do God's will, he's going to work out everything else. And it's going to be fine.
Wow.
All I do is do what he told me to do. Go fight the lion. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to fight. And I feel like fighting. We in Alabama, but I feel like fighting.
Hey, come on.
I feel like we're here to get a devil a black eye.
Yes, sir.
Because we've been proven.
Yes, sir.
We know what we got.
Come on.
Might not have a one stone, but that one stone will take them out. It only takes one hit. It only takes one move.
Really?
And it'll break. I feel the Holy Ghost now. It only takes another one.
Yes,
things are break. They on the push. See, a leader can bring, when we really understand who we are, we understand one of the most powerful things that I know that God has given a leader is that we change atmosphere. When we walk in the room, the atmosphere could be all down, but we could speak a word of life.
Come on, sir.
But that's when you know who you are. You come in the room, they're like, well, why are you happy? Why are you seeing upbeat? Because I've been proven. I know that God's working this out. I just got to go through this thing I don't want to go through called process.
Come on.
I don't like process because process is a wait. And I don't want to wait on nothing. I don't want to wait when I go to Walmart. Get me in the self line. I don't want to wait when I go to the grocery store. If the line is too long at the door, let me go back home and find out when can I get my spot. You got to be proven.
Yep.
And when you're proven, you can go. You can go. I'm supposed to be preaching tonight, but my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Sorry, y'all. I feel the Holy Ghost.
Come on, Rabbi.
Because I'm in another. See, we're in another arena. Another atmosphere. God is here.
Yes, sir.
And when he shows up, you know, we try to be nice. That's my pastor said last night. I'm not gonna apologize for being ugly. I'm just ugly. I'm sorry. But it's all good. But God, that's what we have to do. We have to be proven. And when I think back to what I was just saying about David, he, them stones and everything, he was proven. They were proven things that he had used before.
Wow.
And that's what he stayed. But if he had used the armor, he would have lost. Yeah. But the armor is the proper thing to do when you go to war. Wow. Is to put that on. But sometimes the things that we think are proper for the situation is not.
Yes,
because God in control.
And you know, if David had tried, and a lot of times it's the leaders or leaders, we try to put on garments that don't fit us.
Come on.
We try to pick up a role that ain't ours.
Come on.
And we try to, that's the part where we talk about knowing your identity, knowing who you are in Christ, and being confident in what he has called you to do. If David would have tried to put on that armor and try to go fight that giant, it wouldn't have worked. First of all, he couldn't have carried the weight. A lot of us have taken on roles that we can't even carry the weight. We have not been built or designed to do that task. And if we can find out what God has assigned us to do, it will look good on you.
Yes.
And then the weight of it won't be heavy.
Yes.
When I talk to Apostle, I call him Tigers. I call him Tigers in this setting. I said, I couldn't do what he did. Because first of all, I ain't got the patience to do what he did. So I said, his role wouldn't look good on me.
Wow.
And I'm okay with that. If we can stop taking up roles or stop taking on things that God has not assigned us to do, then we can be that David.
Yes.
We can pick up them stones and we can sling them and do the job the first time. Because David didn't have to go back a second time to fight the giant. Some of us got to go back 10, 15, 20, 100 times because you're still trying to pick up the wrong
boat. Wow.
Stop wearing garments that don't belong to you.
Yes.
Wow. Now, hey, really, what I think about is this. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 4 and 11, and it's clear, the word says that, and God gave some. Let's just stop there. Everybody isn't called to do everything. And everybody isn't anointed for every job.
Come on.
You have to discover who you are. And really, whenever you know who you are, not trying to be like Rob Parsley, T.D. Jakes, but be fine with just being Parnell, Taylor, Reed, Allison. You got to be comfortable and secure in the skin you're in.
Yes.
Because God didn't give every assignment to everybody. The word says, and God gave some, and then he breaks it down a little bit more. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, hey, really, in that, you've got to know where you fit. Now, hey, this is funny. We was at our Founders Weekend, and Lord, the anointing had been there from Friday to Saturday. I tell you, God showed up and showed out. But then on Sunday evening, one of my brothers from the East Coast, Bishop Troy Ingram, He said, now, hey, y'all ain't heard a lot of preaching, a lot of hooping all weekend long. He said, but that ain't me. I am a teacher. I don't get all loud and running and doing, no, I'm settled in who I am. And during that service, that brother broke down the eight fundamentals of, hey, what does it mean to be anointed? And the power of the Holy Ghost came in. That is what it is all about. You cannot be like the next man. Be comfortable in knowing who you are. Because if you are a prophet, don't try to be a pastor. Because a prophet do not have the same tools that a pastor has.
Amen.
The apostle, he has a bit of everything. But however, he is a foundation builder. The teacher doesn't have the same tools as the evangelist has. But what I love about God is, if we all come together, watch this, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for the one of the ministry. Whenever we find out just who we are and they stop trying to outdo one another and they just come together in a spirit of unity and togetherness, God will be edified. And the body will be more effective in winning souls for the kingdom. Because I am not trying to outdo you. I just want to work with you.
That's too much work. And I think people keep missing. It's too much work to try to outdo
it. It is.
It's way too much work. And what if we can just really come together as a body.
That's
and the Bible talks about we are many members, but one body.
Yeah.
And we get into this one mind frame that is just our house, our church house. But that's not what the word is saying. When he's saying many bodies, he's talking about the body of Christ.
That's it. One body.
And if we all can come together as one body.
Wow.
Then we can take back what the enemy has. So we too wrapped up in, well, you coach it. I'm PAW. I'm whatever. But that's not what God is saying.
No.
Because if we go to the word, there was no Church of God in Christ.
Nope.
There was no PAW. Now, y'all, I'm from PAW. We didn't have all that.
Uh-huh.
There was no PAC.
Uh-huh.
There was this. That's not in the word of God.
Uh-huh.
One body.
Wow.
We can come together as one body.
Come on.
According to the word.
Come on.
Then we can see changes
in
the earth.
Yes.
But we so wrapped up and tied up that I want to be the big chief,
Lord,
but nobody want to be the Indian.
Lord have mercy.
But we can operate like that as believers. This is not a money thing.
No.
This has to be a kingdom thing.
Yes.
Think about this. Think about this. Is something of Apostle Reed said. Now David, his mentality was, I just want to serve. It's not about me trying to be better than nobody else.
That's right.
I'm not trying to make a name for myself, but I just want to serve. And then whenever David heard Goliath offending his God.
Come on, that's it.
That is whenever he got offended.
Yes.
We are too busy trying to fight each other until we have missed there is a real enemy out there.
Yes, it is.
And you're not my enemy.
No.
You're not my enemy. The devil is.
Yes, he is.
And really, once we can wrap our mindset around it is all about, Lord, how can I serve?
Yes.
Where can I serve?
Yes.
I just want to be a help. Then change will be effective.
Yes.
People will be healed.
Yes.
Souls will be saved.
Yes.
And the devil's kingdom will start coming down.
Down.
And that's the problem. We don't want to build together.
Wow.
We don't want to build together.
Wow. Wow. This is good.
But where is our humility? Where is
Come
our
on.
Humbleness?
Come on.
In the body of Christ.
That's right.
Because if we can, because the only way you go up, you got to go low.
Right.
But nobody want to go low to go up.
Right.
And if we can really do that,
yes,
as a body, and this is what we're doing here.
Yes.
This is what Driven is about. It's about bringing everybody where the Lord gave me. When he told me to do Driven, I said, Lord, that's a hard task. How am I going to call these people and say, okay, the Lord is telling us all to come together and to begin to encourage the believers and the unbelievers that God needs us to come back together again. Just as they did on the day of Pentecost with one accord. And then he reminded me of the Tower of Babel. How they came together.
Come on.
Wow. With one mind frame that we're going to build this tower.
Wow.
And we're going to build it to heaven. And they were so determined that the Lord said, you know what? These people's crazy enough that they're going to make it work.
Yes.
So I'm going to have to confound them. I'm going to have to scatter the language.
Come on.
And then when he did, then nobody knew what they were saying. And that's where we at, Apostle Reed.
Yes.
The enemy has scattered our language.
Wow.
That we don't understand each other, but that's a lie for the devil.
Yes.
If we can do what we're supposed to do, then we can build the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And then the enemy's camp will begin to be destroyed. And so when the Lord gave me, he said, bring them together.
Wow.
And remind my people that I got a purpose for their lives. And a lot of times people have forgot. I said spiritual amnesia is what I call it.
Amen.
They have forgot that God has designed them
for
a specific task. That he has imparted in you a job that you must do before he comes back.
Wow.
Otherwise, you have aborted your assignment.
Yes.
And so that's what we're here to do. So when I say y'all, come on. I'm not just talking. Come on and let's build the kingdom of God together. Because it takes more than one to build the kingdom. So I'm going to stop because y'all have to keep going.
What you got to say, Pastor Taylor? Come on, man.
You know, it's amazing what you're saying about coming together. You know, from the very beginning, you know, the Bible says that it was good when he created the sun and moved it.
Come on.
Then he turned around and said it was good after he created the fish in the sea.
Yes.
And then the fowls in the sky, he said it was good even then.
I know what you're doing. Come on.
So many things that he said was good. But when he got to man, he said, I see that it's not good for man to be alone.
Come on.
So from the very beginning, my God, he called us to be together. Amen. He called us to be together. Only the enemy divides.
Come on.
He is the author of division. That's who he is. But God is a God that multiplies. His math don't even make sense to us. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered together in the name, God will be in the midst. And then he talks about it and says, where there be what will one will chase a thousand, If you bring two together,
what do I have?
I'll chase 10,000. That math really just don't make sense. But he says if you come together, you will do things that you can't do by yourself.
Come on, sir.
You'll go to levels that you never believed that you can really reach if you come together. But you know what's amazing to me is that I was outside of a grocery store, and I saw this young man. It was a group of young men, and they were passing out CDs. You don't see this no more. But they were passing out CDs. Now, these weren't gospel CDs.
Okay.
These were rap CDs.
Okay.
But I looked at the CD, and I'm looking for the guy that's on the CD, but he's not on the picture.
Uh-huh.
I said, where is he? They said, he's somewhere else. We're just helping him. So what was happening, my God, was the world caught on to coming together.
See that?
But the church is still in the place of division.
I hear you.
They know how to build each other so that they are. This is the word that they say. If one make it, we all make it.
Come on.
That's the way that, you know, they got that from the Bible.
Come on.
They got that from the word.
Yes, sir.
That's why I think it's good that we come together, my God. Put down your differences.
Wow.
Put down your just because you operate in this gift don't mean that I'm wrong because I operate in a different gift.
Come on, come on.
We created these gifts to come together. The Bible, one last thing, I'll come.
Man, come on.
So you brought up Pentecost.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna bring up the Last Supper.
All right.
When he came together, they came together. He said, do this in remembrance of me. But before he said that, he was talking about the bread. He said, this is my broken body that I have created. Come on. But this is what's amazing. He says, do this in remembrance. Remember. The problem is that we are separate members that are divided. But he says, do this in remembrance, not just memory, but remember.
Come on,
that we can come back to
come on, sir. I like that.
And remember what he did, what he brought together.
Now, hey, really, I can just take up the offering right now. Because, Lord have mercy, listen, y'all, what was said there was so astounding, because what I heard was he made the son and said it was good. He made the moon and said it was good. Now, there were two things there he said was good. He made them both. But the purpose of them were different.
Yes.
The sun gave us light in the day. The moon gave us clarity in the night. But they're both good. What are you saying? You can be in Atlanta. You can be in Alabama. I can be in Michigan. They're both, but now he made us all. And he called it good. But the purpose, I can't reach who you can reach.
Come on now.
I can't reach who you can reach. But if we remember, ooh, Lord, if we remember, though you can bring yours, you can bring yours,
yes.
I can bring mine,
yes.
And now we are all one body, but many, oh, y'all, come on here.
Jesus.
That's what I call memory. This is where I talk about spiritual amnesia.
Wow.
Because we don't
remember. Man, that's, ooh, Lord. Lord, help us.
We really have forgotten what we're supposed to do.
Purpose.
Now.
Keyword. Forgot what we're supposed to do.
Wow.
Fulfill purpose. We are not down here just to be here.
No, we are not.
Wow. And we keep forgetting that, you know, my favorite scripture. I know the thoughts
that I think for you. Yes. You know?
We don't forget that. That he has already designated what your purpose is.
Lord, the person.
And he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And so what does God, and a lot of times we don't forget what he thinks towards us.
Wow.
And if we can go back and remember what he's thought towards us.
Wow.
So when you talk about how his body was broken for us, we don't forget that. We don't forget all about that. But this is where we come together and we remind them God's thoughts towards them. And I'm going to jump down to the end of the scripture. He says, but I've given you an he's already mapped it out for you. So what's your problem? He's already said, you know what, everything that you need, I've got it for you. So we have allowed the enemy to take our imaginations, because the Bible says bring in every thought, every imagination into captivity. And what we have allowed the enemy to capture our minds. And we have forgot that God has already got a plan mapped out for you.
Watch this though. Watch this. That is whenever David had to remember who he was. I am not a soldier, a traditional soldier.
I'm built to be that.
I am a survivor.
Yes.
I am one. I don't need a shield. I don't need a brass plate armor. I know who my covering is.
Yes.
So it really, I got, in order for me to be effective in this season,
come on,
I got to operate in God, in what God created me to be.
That's right.
I can't be Marvin Lyons. I can't be Marvin Sapp, T.D. James. I got to be Parnell. Because if Parnell is to be effective in this season,
yes,
God already gave me an expected end.
Yes.
And Parnell's end is not Reed's end. It's not Taylor's end. Because he said, I already knew you. I knew you. I ordained you.
Yes.
I sanctified you.
Yes.
I have called you out to be what? Who? I made you.
Yes.
So now, hey, in all of that, in our being steadfast in this, we cannot get caught up in trying to be like nobody else.
But that's where identity comes in.
That's it.
It goes back to knowing who.
Wow.
You are.
That's my.
And what you've been designed to do. Identity.
Y'all, I feel the Holy Ghost.
I was going to say, what really stuck out with me too is that one of the problems we have is that leaders, they isolate themselves, they separate the
wows.
In order for us to win this, we have to come together. And what came to me while he was talking, the Lord took me back to Noah and how when he built the ark and he called the animals in, he didn't call one animal.
No, he did not.
He called them in by couples. He called them in two by two. And the thing of it, as he did that, the thing of it, those different animals are still here and have reproduced
us
now.
Yes, sir.
And through them, others reproduce.
Yes, sir.
So that's what God said. You reproduce after your own kind. And that's what's going on, is that a lot of times the leadership is looking, trying to come up with the new thing, but it's not about the newness, it's about what God is saying. And if we get our identity, we back to that again, identity, if we remember, you know, if we just can't remember who we are, the purpose that he called us to walk in that, that's all, just stay in your lane.
That's it.
Stay in your lane. That's how, and that's be the problem. People trying to get in other lane. That even go to marriage. The man trying to be the wife trying to be the
man. Uh-oh.
It goes to everything. Uh-oh. Stay in your lane.
Come on.
If you, that's what's wrong. The identity. Not knowing who you are. Not knowing you, I don't even know why I went there. Not knowing you the husband.
But
not knowing you the wife. Know your lane. Know it. Once you know your lane, you be effective in that. God blesses that. And that's where the increase comes. The reason we don't understand the math of God is because God got a thing that's called increase. That it looks like the smallest little bit, but once he put the increase on it, it just, you can't count it.
Wow.
Look at the hair on your head. He knows the number. You can start counting, but I guarantee you after you get to a certain point, you losing it because something else pops up. And you could be like, I don't have no half here. But all of a sudden, you look at this more and you're like, I thought I had one piece, that three piece. You can't count it.
Wow.
That's how his increase is. You can't count it. You can't put your hand on it. You can't put an eye on it because it comes. You wonder, and the reason it's not coming because we're not standing in our lane.
Wow.
If we could do that, stay in our lane, my God, what would he do? See, we here in this region, this time, this season, we're here on purpose.
Yes, sir.
We're here on purpose. We set a day aside. We came here. But God led us here. And now all of a sudden, we get ready to see an increase. When we go back to our areas and our arena, we're going to see such an increase that's going to take off because it's going to come from us being leaders. Well, we came in. We stayed in our lane. We know our identity.
Hey.
Now we better walk in.
Come on.
We better talk in.
Come on.
We better move in.
Come on.
Something better happen. They're like, what's going on there? We've been in our lane. We in our lane. The increase is coming. I'm excited. The increase is coming. I can't wait to get back. I was excited to get here. But when we get back, I know there's no telling what it's going to take place. It's the increase coming. It's not telling what this place where we at right now won't be the same.
No.
It won't be the same. They're going to walk in like, what is? Did they paint the place? Did they do something new? Because of their identity and the purpose.
Come on.
It's staying our lane. We ready to go. I feel like going right now. And, hey, we were laughing coming down the road and Apostle was just gone and we were trying to catch him. And I said, man, I start waiting and I talked to him. I said, hey, we're right here. And I start telling him, hey, we down the street down there. We was excited about him. We was doing our purpose. We was evangelizing.
Yes, sir.
And we get, I can't wait. I can't wait.
When you are walking in what God has told you to do. I don't know about y'all, but I get a charge.
Yes.
I use this word that they laughed at me at sanctuary and praying. I said, I get so giddy. I get so excited when I'm doing what God is instructing me to do. And I tell people contentment.
Yes.
Peace. Joy.
Wow.
All will come when you are operating. In your purpose.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, there was a season that I was not content. I said I was going to move here. I was going to move there. And I'm talking about from state to another state to another state. Because I did not have no clear direction on where I was going. But when I settled myself.
Come on.
And when I allowed the Spirit of God to speak to me. And say, this is what I have assigned you to do. Now, we got to understand, there are more than one thing that God has given you to do.
Yes.
So we're not talking about one dimension. But when you find out those things that God has placed in you to do, then you'll say, okay, contentment. All of a sudden, I got content.
Yes.
I got settled.
Wow.
My joy came back.
Yes.
My peace came back. And then he said, now I'm going to settle you. I'm going to establish you.
Come on.
And then he fortified me.
Come on.
So it didn't matter because people was looking at me crazy when I said, I'm going to do a podcast. I said, it ain't about the numbers. It's about delivering the message. And I said, Lord, if one person catch that they got a purpose and God has got a plan and they execute it, then I did my assignment. And then now what you got me to do next? And if we can just get there, you'll find yourself that you will be content in God. And then he'll push you in a new direction.
Wow, wow.
So y'all, I'm gonna, before we end, I'm gonna give Pastor Reed,
yeah,
Pastor Taylor, an opportunity to tell our listening and viewing audience one more thing, what you wanna share with them about being a leader, being steadfast, and being driven in their purpose.
Well, I would say the number one thing is that salvation for a leader, first of all, your basics. You got to get your basics down. That is the number one thing. A lot of times they try to jump over basics, but the basis is what's going to keep you grounded. Where when things don't seem to line up the way that we want them.
Come on.
And as a leader, we got patience, but then it comes at a time where we get frustrated too.
Yes,
we start looking at the people's faces, or we give them a vision. We're excited about the thing that they didn't tell me is how to handle the reaction of people when you tell them something that you done heard from heaven, and you come back and tell them, and then they immediately don't receive.
Come on!
And they immediately say they have the same Holy Ghost as you and have the same things as you, but they didn't receive what you said at half of the group. Then it gets to be decision, and you have to go back like they used to teach us. If we don't understand what the leader is saying, pray about it and ask God to reveal it to you. And once he revealed it to you, then you move on. But in this season, people don't do that. So we have to learn how to understand that people don't have the last say. So sometimes you get frustrated with that.
Come on.
Because you want this to go. We know that we need to do this. We need to do that. And we on the go. We're doing, someone's working full time. Someone's doing different things. And so the thing that they didn't tell me that, and if I had to learn, I said, now, I thought about Moses when he came, went up to the mountain. He had to go seven times. He got the tablets down. He came down and he was frustrated that the people had just that quickly. And that's the season we're in. People will not get unfocused. And that's what I would say to a leader is that you have to stay focused regardless. You have to know how, and they wouldn't say this either. You have to know how to get your frustrations out when God tells you what to do, and the people don't understand what you're saying. You got to go back to God and say, okay, God, show me how to give this to them, and they accept it, and me be prepared for if they don't accept it. You know, so that would be my main thing, and stay focused, press through, knowing things don't come overnight. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's like a farmer throwing seeds. He don't know which one gonna come up. He just taking a gamble.
Come
and look here, he didn't just start farming. He been doing it for years.
Come on.
But every season he plants, it's something new come up. It's something different, but it could be the same fruit.
Come on.
It could be the same vegetables. It could be the same, but it comes in different. Everybody came to that point, then come to the next one. But what I would say is that stay encouraged. That's the thing. You have to know how, as a leader, to stay encouraged, stay focused, stay understanding your purpose. Know how to get away. Know how to get away. Get away and pray. Get away. Get away. Sometimes you just have to take time. I say, I got to just take some time and breathe. Come back to yourself. And when you understand what your purpose is, first of all, and I'm closing, first of all, the number one thing as a leader, If you're saved, your number one thing is to get back to your salvation. Get back to your salvation.
Come on.
Then understand your leadership. Then understand your purpose. and did understand your assignment.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Just to encourage somebody just for a little bit, I would tell you, stay connected to the language and the sound of heaven. Stay connected to the sound and the language of heaven. If you're going to stay focused on your purpose, on what God has called you to do, you must stay connected to the language and the sound of heaven. That means, in spite of what I see, I'm still focused on what he told me. I remember Mary and Martha, y'all call it the Mary and Martha effect, where Mary had to look at death. She had to look at Lazarus dead in front of her while listening to Jesus saying, if you only believe, you will see the salvation of the Lord. Now, how do you stay focused on the language and the sound of heaven? You must stay in your word. Stay connected to the word of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And if you stay connected to the word of the Lord, you will hear the sound of heaven.
Wow.
You will hear the language of heaven. And no matter what comes in front of you and what you see, because life is going to show you a whole lot of things.
Yes, sir.
But if you stay listening to what he's saying versus what I see in front of me, my God, you will stay connected in your purpose.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
So
I'm gonna just say this. We have a saying at Sanctuary Church that kingdom recognizes kingdom. And in order, and all those who are citizens of the kingdom,
yes,
they dress different. They walk different. They speak a terminology that other people just don't understand.
Yes.
And then why? It is because they know that they have dominion. That means kingdom authority and kingdom access. So now, if you are a citizen of the kingdom,
come on,
you got access to everything in the kingdom. But now, if you break a law, you can be banished from the kingdom. So now, it is so important to know who you are, to know whose you are, and don't change for nobody.
That's right.
But be settled in, I am a citizen of the kingdom. So now, the sound I'm hearing, I can't let nothing else detour me. What I'm seeing, I can't let that distract me, because I got purpose. I'm on assignment. And if I do not do the things that God has assigned me, I can lose my access pass. I can lose citizenship, which means now I'm an alien to something God told me that I have already. We have alienated ourselves from a access pass God gave us in the beginning. So now it is our responsibility. It is our obligation to regain that. How do we regain that? We have to know who we are.
He going, y'all. He going.
Who we are. All right, y'all. I'm ready.
So I just want to chime in this real quick. When Pastor Tate was talking about the sound, how do you know keep your word. Mm-hmm. It is important, it is necessary that you spend time with God.
Yes, Jesus.
That you can recognize his voice.
Yes, Lord.
And not the enemy's voice. Lord. How do you gain access? You can't just speak any words.
No.
You have to speak kingdom words. What is that? That's the word of God. In order for you to obtain access, relationship, the word of God, then you can recognize what the sound is that you're hearing. And then you can know what direction you're going. When you want to come into this country, you have to get a green card.
Come on.
If you want to get citizenship, you have to take a test.
Come on.
So that means you have to study to get access to this country. So in order to get access to the kingdom of God, you're going to have to study to know what the rules and the regulations are.
Come on.
So if you want to know what you have been assigned to do, get in your word. Get a relationship with God for real. And then God will allow you to tap into the kingdom things. And then tap into purpose. And then be driven in it. I'm so glad that you joined us on today at Driven in Purpose. I am your host, Alice M. Robinson.
And your co-host, Tyrus D. Parnell Sr.
And as we always say, let's get it.
And let's go.
God bless you.
God bless.